It was actually a quite a stark change. I started out the month of January really struggling, unfortunately, with some issues, some health, mental health issues. And the Book of Mormon has given me an incredible power that has completely turned things around for me.
You're listening to The Busy Latter-day Saint, where righteous desires and living life come together. I'm your host, Richard Bernard. Because this podcast ends on a spiritual high, I do not end any comments at the end, so I add them here. You can help support this podcast by sharing it with friends and family, clicking on the follow button, and giving it a star rating, a five-star rating, that is. I'm also the host of the Everyday Saints podcast aired by Cedar Fort Publishing and Media. There I have the wonderful opportunity to interview authors published by Cedar Fort and learn about their new books. I encourage you to check it out. There's a link in the show notes. Lastly, I want to thank two talented musicians for the intro and outro music, Angie Gillian and Marvin Goldstein. Both of them have been guests on this podcast. See the show notes for more information. And now, I invite you to join me and guest Michael Young of the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square as he gives us an exclusive look behind the scenes of the choir. His insight on music, writing, and his testimony is sure to inspire. Don't miss out on this uplifting episode with the talented Michael Young. Michael, welcome to the podcast. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I've been anxious to talk to you. Angie Gillian said that you are somebody that I must talk to.
Wonderful. Yeah, Angie's wonderful. We've collaborated on a number of different things, and I think the world of her too.
Yes, well, she spoke highly of you, and then I go, well, who is this man? Well, it wasn't too hard to find on Google.
Oh, nice. Well, good. I'm doing my job right there.
Yeah. It says you're about 6'5", and you played with the LA Rams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was my other...
Well, anyway, I am a retired musician from many years ago. I played with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra. I was a percussionist, and nice. I've written hymns. And actually, my call to fame was... there was a percussion ensemble that I wrote that's, I think, played at every college in the United States. And that was written about 30 or 40 years ago, but it was very popular.
Nice.
So, and I have a degree in music, music education. And so it's, I always enjoy talking to the musicians. So let's start. Tell me about yourself. Let's go back to your teen years. What were you doing? Where were you raised? And so on.
Yeah, you bet. So my my father was a military pilot. He was in the Air Force officer, flew huge cargo planes called C-5s. And so we moved around a bit. I did high school split, 2 years in Illinois and 2 years in California, both by military bases. But luckily, both of those high schools had incredible music programs and like musical theater too. So thank goodness. I did audition to choirs in both of them. I actually rang handbells in California. The school had a handbell choir. Mm-hmm. I did musical theater throughout high school, did madrigals and jazz choir, you know, kind of the smaller on, you know, more so auditioned ensembles, and was taking piano and voice on the side. Yeah, it was just a huge part of my formative years.
Yes. And so after high school, what did you do?
So I made my way out to BYU. I did a year before my mission. This was before you could go on your mission at 18. So had to wait till I was 19. Did a year and sang at, got right into the BYU men's chorus. So I continued getting to sing in choir, which was great. I credit music also for helping me meet my spouse too. I was the ward choir director that year. And that year, the woman who would be my wife walked into my choir practice. So, you know, I was like, oh, you know, person of good taste coming to ward choir. So, I directed the choir and actually directed the state choir in my student stake that year. And yeah, just had a blast. All of these Yeah, my mom always told me how much the piano lessons, the voice lessons were going to pay off in real life and, service in the church. And turns out she was exactly right because I got so many opportunities that then and then went on a mission to Frankfurt, Germany, and just played so many musical numbers, accompanied so many meetings, did sang special musical numbers, and even got a baptism out of I got permission to perform in a stake production of what's called The Garden. Person brought their friend to that, and I really liked my performance, and I got to I kind of started teaching her and was baptized. I baptized her on my last day in the field. So
Wow.
the music, it's followed me all through and just has just been this kind of thread in my life that has allowed me to serve and to so edify others and also edify myself at the same time. It's just been wonderful.
You had your mission, you came back. What did you do next?
You bet. So I came back. My Jennifer, who I was I met before my mission, was still available, and we got married. It was wonderful. I actually started a few years after I got married. We had our first kid, and I started playing with the handbell choir called the Bells on Temple Square. It plays for with the Tabernacle Choir organization. Did that for a few years. Got my degree in actually in German teaching from BYU. Minored in music, but did stay up doing choirs at BYU. And right about 2010, when our second child was born, I auditioned for the Tabernacle Choir. It was called the Mormon Tabernacle Choir back then, of course. So I but and I had just turned 25. That's like the earliest you can do it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna try. Who knows? And lo and behold, I got in right the first time. And so I've actually been doing that ever since. So my wife and I have bumped around to different cities in Utah to follow a couple different job opportunities, but that's kind of been the constant in my life is Thursday night rehearsals and Sunday morning music and the spoken word broadcasts and the occasional incredible trip to some far-flung land with the choir.
I've heard that to be able to join the choir, you kind of start with a junior choir first, and then
Sure, yeah.
is that what happens?
So after there's a three-phase audition process, and if you get through all three of those, you join what's called the Temple Square Chorale. And the chorale meets from like January of any given year till about March or April. And then the culmination of that is that you perform some large choral work. And once you've done that, that's kind of like your trial by fire, and you get to be a full member of the choir.
And
So
I've
you actually have to do it your first 2 years. So your first year, and then you're in the choir for the rest of the year. And then when January rolls around again, you have to do both. You have to be in the choir, do your regular choir stuff, and the chorale stuff at the same time. So actually, the second year is even more intense than the first year.
Well, I've heard you also have to take a test in musical theory.
Yes, that's the second phase of the audition. And man, yeah, I walked out of that. I thought I had a pretty good background, but I was like, I don't know, like, because a lot of it is like is ear training stuff. Yeah, like there's a written part that was about key signatures and think these things that were pretty straightforward. I felt good about that, but then there was a lot of ear training where it's really fast. You have like a little multiple choice sheet, and you're listening to things, and you've got to make really quick decisions. I think they're just testing like you have that kind of native. So innate ability, or if you cultivated that ability to the point where you can learn and analyze music very quickly, because that's part of the job description. They're throwing so many things at you all the time. And like every week it's new stuff. And tour, you've got to learn 20, memorize 20 to 25 songs. They need people who can really just devour music.
Yes.
And so I think that's what they're looking for.
Yes. Now, you said your wife, is she in the choir too?
No, she's not currently. She is she We've thought about maybe after I'm done that she might try. I did actually invite her. She got to sing a rehearsal with us last year around her birthday. I surprised her with that, and she loved it. So she's got a beautiful alto voice, you know, that's one of the first things I noticed about her was that she was a good singer and plays the piano as well. So yeah, she definitely has that same sort of musical bent. So maybe someday.
Okay. And I understand with the choir, you retire at a certain age.
Yeah, it's age 60. I'm not hitting age 60, but also they anytime soon, that is. But there is also a limit of 20 years of service. So I've done 14, about 14 of my 20 years already. Got in 2010. So I've been, just plowing right along. It's been great. Done some pretty incredible stuff with the choir in that time.
Yeah, I served my mission with the Priesthood Family Department, and they had a special where we were invited to dinner, and then we were taken backstage at the conference center and saw where you guys come in and where you get dressed and all of that. But in the end, they had us go into the choir loft so we could actually sit up there. There was maybe 150 of us, I guess.
And, a great view.
And so we got to sing and with the organ going and everything. So got to see what it's like to stand up there and look out at that vast audience. It's very impressive.
Oh, it's something else, especially when that's full, man. It's pretty breathtaking.
Yeah, I can really see that. I'm looking at some notes here. It says you've written over 40 books.
Yes, I have. But there's kind of space between some fiction, some nonfiction. Some of them are more like short story anthologies, but I've done all sorts of stuff. I've actually got one coming out in March that's about Easter music. It's through Shadow Mountain, which is a Deseret book. Oh. It's a follow-up to my similar book that was about Christmas music that came out a couple years ago. But like you talks about the history of these songs, and you. There's like a little QR code where that lets you go listen to the song after you learn about it. And so this is this new one that's coming out is actually meant to celebrate all of Holy Week. And so it's music mm-hmm. that's for different days of Holy Week so that we can focus on the whole week and you know, culminating with Easter, but kind of expanding our Easter celebrations as they, you know, that they talked about that in conference recently. So I was pretty excited that I had this on the, you know, in the pipeline.
Let's see, you're with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You've written 40 books. What do you do with your free time?
Free time? Yeah, well, I one of the things I love most is being a dad. I've got three kids. My oldest is just about 16, a boy. We have a boy who's 13 who has Down syndrome. So that's been quite an experience for us. He is just the sweetest. And then we have our little miracle baby on the end, who is about 2.5.
Wow.
Little baby girl who is just the light of our lives. So I love hanging out with my kiddos when I can.
Well, is your oldest involved in music at all?
Yeah. So he's in choir at school, and he is, we just figured out that he has a knack for the piano. He just this one day started sitting down and he's like playing things that he heard from a movie and was like figuring it out just by ear. And he's got some great musical gifts. Like he's got a better ear than I do. Like if I remember once we sang for like a family home evening or something. I started singing "I'm a Child of God." And he's like, "Dad, that's wrong." And I'm like, "What do you mean it's wrong?" He's like, "That's not how it goes." And like he sang it in a different key. And then, so I opened up the app, on the church website, and lo and behold, he was right. Like that's what? The key that it's written in, and so like he could tell you. And so like we defer to him now, and we're like, okay, JR, give us a pitch. Like we're singing "Love at Home" or whatever. Like, what's the real key?
Well,
so yeah, that's been really neat to see his gifts, you know, grow and mature.
Well, now, what do you do to put shoes on the kids' feet and put food on the table? Because I know the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doesn't pay you.
No, they. There's a lot of benefits to being in the choir. You know, we're headed out to all expense paid trip to Manila next month.
Yes, I read about it. Yes.
Oh man, so a lot of benefits. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pull down a typical salary. I work at BYU. I'm what's called an instructional designer, where I design curriculum for some of the university's world language courses, specifically the ones that are delivered online. So I work with professors, you know, I don't speak all of the languages. I am a German speaker, but for example, I'm working on Japanese right now, and I've been doing American Sign Language as well, and working with different experts to get the content for that. And then they'll be delivered to students or people who take independent study courses through the university. So yeah, that's been great. I am a graduate of BYU. I love being back. It's just a good culture. You know, I get to go to the devotional every week. It's just right across the parking lot from my office, the Marriott Center. So, you know, they used to have great musical numbers there too. So that's, I mean, it's just fun to be come full circle there.
I'm fluent in American Sign Language and served over 20 years in deaf branches. Now, who are you speaking to on the ASL part?
Yeah, so it's professors on campus who've been helping us out with that. And yeah, it's been wonderful. I guess it's one of their most popular courses. A lot of people out there looking to learn ASL. And so that I'm actually, one of my next, I will continue to develop ASL courses into the future. So
the ASL courses, quite often, even in high school, it's the language everybody wants instead of German, French, or Spanish because they think it's easy. And so
you're like, oh no.
and then you explain there are grammar rules. Yes, there are grammar rules, and one sign can mean more than one thing. And just like in English, you know, we've got words that have several meanings, and you see enrollment start going down. When I studied at the college, you know, the class is just packed with ASL 1 and ASL 4. There's about 5 of us left.
Oh yeah. You can really stay the course. Totally. Yeah. It's in writing these courses, I realize it is so complicated, but also so great when it's done right. I think it's just fun to watch people
in
ASL because it's so just engaging. It uses the whole body and facial expression. I don't know. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I study the scriptures and the conference talks actually in ASL. Well, I don't study in ASL every day in the scriptures, but occasionally. And then the conference talks I watch in ASL. So it's
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Oh, I like that.
So. Well, we know how you're getting food on the table. It also says you've submitted over 100 texts to the new hymn book.
Yes, and you mentioned Angie. She has to thank for some of those. I actually remember when I learned about it, I was sitting in an airplane. We just landed. I was on tour with the choir, in fact, on the West Coast. Just landed in Los Angeles. And I opened up my phone and saw hey, you know, this is going to start. There's a year to do it, you know, between the time that you say, okay, go, and the time that they cut off submissions. And I just said to myself, like, you know, this is my one shot. Like, this only comes, you know, once a lifetime, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, they don't revise the hymn book very easily, you know, very, very often, because it's just a huge undertaking. And so I committed right there to say, I'm just going to do absolutely everything I can. And I worked every day of that year, just reaching out to people and writing and revising and collaborating. And I worked right up to the day of the submission, actually, the right up to midnight, I was still putting some finishing touches with my final collaborators. So I feel like no matter what happens, I really gave absolutely everything I could.
Yes.
And it was just my offering of my talent.
Yes. Yes.
I loved it. I have to tell you though, what was remarkable about that was what had happened actually the year before. So 2018 is when the initial call went out, and gosh, it seems like forever ago because we've been waiting for so long. But the year before, 2017, at the beginning of the year, I usually sit down and kind of, okay, I want to make some artistic goals for this year, some things I want to try to do. And I make that a matter of prayer. And as I prayed that year, I had the distinct impression that I needed every day to write a song text. And specifically like a practice writing hymns, so with meter and rhyme and, you know, all those things. And like every day, that's a lot, you know, there's a lot of, that's over, you know, 365 texts. So, but as I pondered that, I felt it stronger, more strongly and more strongly. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And I did it. And a lot of those, you know, a lot of those really were just practice. You know, a lot of those don't really haven't seen the light of day. But through that year, I learned so much. It got to a point where it's lyric writing has just become second nature to me now, where I already think in meter and rhythm and rhyme and all that. And I had no idea that that the year afterwards was where we were going to be a new hymn book, they were going to start the new hymn book and ask for submissions. But then when the second I saw that, I took a moment and was like, well, yeah, you know, that's why I was prompted to do that, because now I've gone through the training and now it's game time. And now it's time to actually do things that will count.
Yes.
So I was so grateful that I'd gotten that prompting and that I'd followed through with it, because it ended up being an incredible blessing. Because I worked with so many wonderful Latter-day Saint musicians that year, and I kind of just built up this whole network of like-minded friends throughout the year. And there's nothing like it. So I'm really excited that it looks like we're finally kind of at the end of the tunnel here, where we might start actually hearing some of the results of that. And in the next couple of years, we'll actually be able to hold the new hymn book. But yeah, that's it's exciting to think about that we're finally there.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see the new hymn book and see what they cut out and what they put in. And
oh, it's going to be fascinating too. What made the cut? What they changed? Yeah, you know, what didn't make the cut? You know,
and if they changed the key on some of them, they've done that before.
Yeah, seriously,
yeah, so people have it memorized in one key and on the piano or
organ. No, no.
You know, how come you went from one flat to four flats? You know, and so.
Yeah, I think they try to make them more accessible. I think from like the brown hymn book to the green one, I think they tried to simplify the keys for pianists and organist sakes. But I mean, you never know, right? Might have other reasons for changing the key.
Yeah, I agree. They, you know, instead of A flat, they went to F and things like that.
I
noticed. Yeah, so B. Well, I got to go back to the choir, because
with
General Conference, I see you guys up there. You're all dressed the same. All of those sisters are dressed the same.
Yep.
They must have a full-time seamstress crew there to measure the coats for everybody, and they must know all your sizes. Exactly how does it work?
Yeah, so they do have a bunch of they call them wardrobe people.
Okay.
And there's a number of brethren, a number of sisters. A lot of them they're volunteers as well, who help out with the wardrobe. And they have a bunch of stock. So they do measure you, like when you get in the choir, then we have five or six suits and five or six dresses at any given time. And yeah, they try to match you as quickly as you can, and they can make some alterations as well. But yeah, they've got a big team working on that. It's probably not as many people as they would like, but yeah, there are some dedicated people who are only worrying about the wardrobe for the choir.
And is that you take home, or do you get there and change there?
Oh, sure. So we have, everything stays at Temple Square usually. There'll be occasions where they were like, okay, we're going to go shoot a music video early in the morning, take home this suit and dress at home, meet the bus early. But usually, yeah, we have like little clothing lockers, dressing rooms, but which has been interesting with the Temple Square construction. The men of the choir have been booted from their usual dressing room because of the construction. So I'm looking forward to someday getting back to the original facilities.
And of course, the sisters are never inconvenienced.
Well, they we try to be gentlemanly and afford them the nicest facilities, but yes.
It's like you check any chapel, the priesthood gets a closet with hard chairs, and the sisters have their own room with nice, cushy, soft chairs.
Well,
so.
It's a sacrifice we make gladly. No, so I mean we've all had to kind of just adjust as they work on different parts of Temple Square and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's looking really great. They've opened up a bunch more, and it's going to be glorious.
Well, I would like to get into the scriptures.
Let's do it.
Exactly, how do you study them?
Yeah, so this year I've really decided I needed to slow down. I've often just read, just said, okay, I'm going to read two chapters a day, but I decided I'm going to set a timer, and I'm going to block out all distractions. You sign in on the church website, and you can make all of your digital notes. I just decided, you know what? It doesn't matter how much I'm getting through in a particular day. I am just going to slow down. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take the time to I'm a big word nut, so sometimes I'm like, gosh, you know what? What's the origin of that word? And is that significant? And many times I'm like, oh wow, yeah, that really is. That adds another layer of meaning to these passages. And I've really, really enjoyed that. Just at the beginning of the year, I heard so many times the President Benson quote about the power entering your life the moment you commence a serious study of the Book of Mormon. And I'm like, gosh, you know what? If I'm being honest with myself, I'm reading the Book of Mormon, but I can never call it a serious study. And so that's what I'm trying to do this year, is make it a serious study and write those notes, write the impressions. I feel as you write them down, that shows that you're willing to preserve those things, and you're going to get more of them. And that's been my experience. And I'll tell you, it's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how we're supposed to study the scriptures. Now, your notes, you said you do it digitally or you do it handwritten or
Yeah, I do it digitally, so that you can just, because you can do it either on your phone or often just do it on my computer, but it preserves it. You just sign in with your church account, and it stays there. And then you can, it actually, the neat thing is it lets makes you lets you do different passes. So okay, this time I'm going to save a note set that's all looking for a certain thing. And then you could start over and say, okay, start a new note set that I'm going to
Yes.
focus on a different topic. And so you that I find that's a really valuable tool.
Yeah, it is, and I'm anxious when it'll actually make it to the mobiles. I usually study on my
Oh,
iPad,
sure.
my 13-inch one here, and I split the screen between the notes, handwritten notes,
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
and what I can do is, if there's something in that handwritten note that I feel needs to go in the Gospel Library, I can just circle it. It makes it into print, and then I just copy and
Oh,
paste it
cool.
into the Gospel Library. But
Wow.
sometimes I'm just scribbling. I'm making a circle and tying in a line to that, and I'm a visual person and just trying to make
Yeah.
sense of something. Or
Oh, that's neat.
maybe that's where my handwritten. I'll make an outline. But then once I get done with the outline, I summarize it up in a note into the Gospel Library. So now you don't know what I do with my mission. I actually give devotionals throughout the country, getting
Oh, that's
people to,
wonderful.
encouraging people to study the scriptures, have personal revelation, just like you're talking about. And I'm one of the experts on the Gospel Library. So if you got any questions,
Oh, that's wonderful.
you've got my phone number. Call me anytime.
Sure do.
And if you
Yeah.
have a particular problem, we'll help get you solved on that.
Oh, wow. I had no idea I was talking to an expert. Well, thank you for your work
Yes,
then. That's
and
wonderful.
believe me, you'll come with a problem, or you'll say, "Is there a way that I can?" And I go, "Yes, there is a way to do that, but it's got to kind of tweak it a little bit."
Oh,
So
sure.
there's all sorts of ways to do that. Your family, you've got young children at home. Do you
I
have
do.
a scripture study with them?
Yeah, we it's interesting with especially with the child with Down syndrome. He's not very verbal. He doesn't understand a whole lot, but I know that I I can tell that he reacts to the spirit in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do sit around and talk with each other, we like to try to memorize scriptures together. That's one of our big things. A lot of the seminary or doctrinal mastery scriptures. My oldest son is a really good memory, so that's been a way to help him feel successful with the scriptures too. And I find him he's got such a good memory. Sometimes it, like in an applicable situation, he'll bring up the scripture. I'm like, you know, way to go, bud. You know, way to liken the scriptures, dude. You know, so yeah, they and my it's been neat too. He's entered seminary, and so you know, we're able as a family to discuss a lot of the things he's learning in seminary as well.
And you said you have a 2.5-year-old, was that right?
Yes, little
yeah,
little Maggie.
And I'm sure a son or a daughter.
Daughter, yeah, a little girl.
So I'm sure she just sits on the couch with her arms folded and listens.
Yeah.
Or else she's bouncing around on the couch and rolling on the floor. And
oh, she's spunky, but you know what? She's so cheerful that it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't disrupt the good feelings going on. she's just so delightful.
Well, when I've been with grandchildren, with my son back in Iowa, they were just bouncing around on the couch and the floor and everything, but somehow they were listening. It just amazes me, you know. You ask them a question,
oh, yeah.
They ask them a question, and they stop doing what they're doing and, you know, provide an answer.
Well, yeah, even my 2.5-year-old, she surprises me with how much she's listening to things. And like today she pointed to a letter and was like, oh my God, I had no idea you knew what an O was. Or even the things at church, she'll point to pictures and say, Jesus. And they're like, okay, yes, exactly. Yes,
okay, that's really great.
She's picking up those things that we, you know, have around her. So,
well, now that you made your switch to really feasting upon the words of Christ, have you noticed a difference in your life compared to before that?
Oh, absolutely. It was actually a quite a stark change. I started out the month of January really struggling, unfortunately, with some issues, some health, mental health issues. And the Book of Mormon has given me an incredible power that has completely turned things around for me. I say it again and again. It's such a good idea to take the prophets at their word, and you know, to when they promise you something, to say, you know what, I'm going to, as they invite you to experiment upon the word. Yeah, you know, prove me now herewith. And I did that this month, and I feel better and stronger spiritually and mentally than I have in a long time. And it's not to say that I still have, you know, challenges to deal with, but I feel like I'm so much better equipped to tackle them.
That's a great testimony. And the church should come to your home with a camera and have you tell that story. And then they put it out on the internet to convince other people that, yes, we need to listen to the prophet's voice. And yes, when we feast upon the words of Christ, it literally changes us.
It
absolutely
does.
Well, I'd like to end here with your testimony. Would you mind providing that?
I would love to. Yeah, as I look back at my life, there's just so many times I can see the hand of the Lord preparing me and giving me opportunities that prepare me and shape me and mold me for what's coming next. I've seen him work miracles in my life, over and over. I just know that that our Heavenly Father lives. He is a real interested party in our life. He is just intensely interested in us and loves us, and why it wants to play that role of loving Father. Being a father myself, I've seen how much, you know, you have to let your kids go through hard things sometimes in a formative manner that never diminishes your love for them. And you have to correct your kids sometimes. And that never, even when I correct my kids, it doesn't diminish my my deep and abiding love for them. And I'm just glad that these experiences, I feel, really are preparing me and shaping me and molding me in ways that when I look back, I'm just filled with gratitude. And I know that as we turn to the resources that we've been given, and to the scriptures, to the temple, to the words of the prophets, that we can make it, and that we can overcome, and we can let, as President Nelson is so fond of saying, that let God prevail in our lives. I know that that's true. I know that this is his work. He's able to do his own work. And if you can be part of it, it is thrilling and wonderful. It really is a marvelous work. I know that our Savior lives. I know that he has real power to heal, to save, and to redeem, to help us become more than we currently are. And it's a beautiful process to see. It can sometimes be a difficult and even painful process, but it is marvelous. This is his church. This is his work. We have a prophet today. The Book of Mormon has power. It really is the most correct of all books on earth. And it really will bring a power into your life when you seriously study it. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ.